It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. A lot to get in the hour, so let's get started. First of all, week four of the high school football season in the books for the Jefferson City Jays, the Blair Oaks Falcons, the Capital City Cavaliers, and the Hollis Crusaders. Here are your final scores. First of all, last night at Ray Hinches Stadium, Hollis shut out Granite City by a score of 49-0. Last night on the road, the Jefferson City Jays with a shutout as well. Same score as they defeat Sedalia Smith Cotton by that 49-0 margin. It was Rockbridge over Capital City at Atkins Stadium last night, 43-14, and in Boonville last night, the Boonville Pirates over the Blair Oaks Falcons, 41-35. As we mentioned, the Jefferson City Jays pick up the victory on the road last night. They shut out the Tigers from Sedalia Smith Cotton. Final score was 49-0. Joining us now is Jays head football coach Damon Wells. Congratulations, Coach.
Thanks so much.
Must have been a nice bus ride coming home from Sedalia.
It was. It definitely was. It was great for our kids to be rewarded for all of their hard work and all their sacrifices.
You know, it's a situation where you obviously, this is one win of a lot of wins that you hope to get in the football season. But to get that first victory is kind of nice, isn't it? For you as the head football coach, new head football coach for Jefferson City, there's some football players on the team. This is their first varsity win as well. So it must have been a special night.
Well, there are definitely some players who it's their first varsity win because we're so young, I believe. Last night, we started two seniors defensively, and it wasn't a heck of a lot more offensively. So, again, it's always great for kids to be rewarded on that all-important social metric.
You know, we saw the game last Friday night against Columbia Rockbridge. Talked with you Saturday morning on the Coach's Show. Thought there were a lot of positives to take away from that game against Columbia Rockbridge in week three. And again, your team seems to continue to improve each week as you had a good effort, a dominating win last night at Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Yeah, the boys played hard. There's no doubt about it. As always, I believe that when you get into the film afterward, things are never quite as good as you thought they were and never quite as bad as you thought they were. It oftentimes gets us back to neutral. And we got to clean up penalties. Well, we had well over 100 yards in penalties last night and at least two touchdowns called back. So we need to fix those.
We talked about it being a nice win last night. It's all part of the journey, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, sir. That this season, especially with having camp late in July, it's a long season, and we spend an awful lot of time together. So it's pretty important to us that we don't let any one day or any one night try to define that journey for us. We're going to continue to grow and get better and still think that the best days are ahead.
You take a look at each game and each practice, this team continues to improve, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, yes, sir.
I saw some tape from the game last night, and in particular, there was one, I think, a touchdown run by David Bethune, and the offensive line still blocking and pushing defenders away 15, 20 yards downfield.
That's right. Again, we say oftentimes that perhaps the most important criteria for us is to be selfless. We're in trouble as soon as we start having somebody talk about number of carries and touches and yards and things like that. And I haven't heard any of that from any kid in the program. And the most beautiful thing is that entire offensive line is all sophomores and juniors.
So it's a situation you're emphasizing team statistics versus individual statistics.
We do not care about individual statistics. And again, a bald 50-year-old guy can say that all he wants, but if high school kids don't buy in, then that's pretty irrelevant. But I think that our kids are embracing it. But like I said, we got to continue to get better.
Defense played well last night for you in getting the shutout, didn't they? Tigers didn't get a lot of yardage.
Shutouts are always special. Our defensive staff prepares like crazy, and our kids played hard defensively. They played physically. And I was pretty proud of them for that. But like I mentioned, and it happened on both sides of the ball. We had well over 100 yards in penalties, and we definitely need to take care of that.
I saw, as I mentioned, some tape from last night's game. It seemed like you did very well between the tackles last night. It looked like Sedalia Smith-Cotton and your offensive line, of course, blocking at the point of attack is helping out as far as that is concerned. But it seemed like Sedalia Smith-Cotton didn't have a lot of answers to that between the tackles running that you did last night.
Yeah, and that's our kids played hard. Everybody practices all week long, and we hope to continue to get healthy. We look forward to a day when we have our whole team. We haven't played a game this year where we've had the whole group together. So we're mixing and matching pizzas, and the kids have faith. And I think it just gets tougher from here. So, you know, we got to keep the faith now.
We just talked about it a second ago, team statistics versus individual statistics, but I'm going to go through some individual statistics as well. David Bethune's had a great start of the season for you. Again, a couple of touchdowns last night. I think he had touchdown runs of 11 yards, 44 yards, and 39 yards. I have him for 9 touchdowns in 4 games, 8 on the ground, and a kickoff return as well. Had a good start, very good start of the season for you.
Yeah, and he's such a good boy that he's a hard worker. Second, he's a leader. The coach's office up in the Weber Center is right outside of where his locker is, and he's always challenging kids to do the right thing. And he's refreshing. So it's great to have somebody like him that's been through so much with the coaching changes and is still bought in. And last night, I don't know if he'd get mad for me saying this or not, but he kept stopping me during the game and saying that if you see anything I need to do technique-wise that would make me better, please tell me.
Wow. That's great to hear, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
In control, 27-0 at the half. Tell me about your first half of football last night.
It was great, but we had 2 touchdowns called back in the first half, so that was pretty frustrating. Again, just the penalties. And it's everything that I said.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that we took care of the ball much, much better than we did against Rockbridge. We had 1 turnover, but that turnover was a long run. And, you know, credit to the Sedalia kids that they had a young man that hustled all the way down the field and was able to punch the ball out from behind. It was a great effort on our part. The young man, Kevion Pendleton, broke about 6 tackles to get where he was. But aside from that 1 miscue, we did a much better job of taking care of the football with only the 1 turnover. Now it's the penalties.
Kevion Pendleton had 2 touchdown runs as well for you last night. Hayden Wells, the quarterback, with 2 touchdowns. First 2 touchdowns for him as a Jefferson City Jay. How special is it for you to have your son as the quarterback on this football team and you and him enjoying his senior year?
Well, I don't think it matters what position that he plays. It's just, you know, it's always special for a father to spend any time with his son. So, you know, the emotions of a high school football season definitely magnify those emotions. But again, it doesn't really matter what position that he plays. I'm blessed and thankful to be here. And now we need to keep winning games.
I think he's done a nice job of running the offense for you.
He has done a nice job of running the offense. But again, we need to continue to get better.
All right, you have the Capital City Cavaliers on Friday night. That'll be a big ball game at Atkins Stadium, won't it?
I don't know. Never been a part of it. So. Well, I guess we'll see. I certainly imagine that it will be. I know that in the blink of an eye, they're a bigger school than we are, a bigger student population. So it's going to be a challenge. That, like I said, we're struggling to get healthy. And we got to find a way to get healthy and put our best product on the field and continue to get better.
Well, there's some big games coming up for you in the next 3 weeks. Capital City on Friday night, and then you'll have Columbia, Hickman, and Helias in that stretch. There's 3 rivalry games right there.
Yeah, so our response to all that's going to be to sit in a room and watch film for about 12 hours today and see if we can get better today.
Coach, as we wrap up the interview this morning here on the Coach's Show, what'd you take away? What's the number one thing that you took away from the game last night?
That the growth continues, that the climb continues, that our kids played more physical, that more tough, and we continue to execute better every single week. I love the physicality, that we can't be successful without being physical, and our kids were as physical as they've been last night.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. Congratulations on the victory last night in Sedalia against Smith Cotton Tigers. Look forward to the game Friday night as you will take on the Capital City Cavaliers at Atkins Stadium.
Thanks so much.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Damon Wells. We'll have the broadcast for you right here on KWOS as the Jefferson City Jays meet the Capital City Cavaliers. 6:30 with our pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. Elias beat Granite City last night. When we come back, we'll check in with Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches on the Coach's Show.
When it's time to replenish your landscaping mulch, decorative rock, pool sand, screen topsoil, or driveway rock, your wallet and your back both cringe at the idea of buying and moving multiple bags of the stuff. But both will breathe a sigh of relief when you get it in bulk by the truckload from Capital Sand Company. Delivered anywhere in JC for just $50, saving time, money, and your back. On Facebook and at CapitalSandCompany.com.
Capital Sand Company just makes sense.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans watch Newsmax. It's the fourth highest rated cable news channel, and it's available on all major cable systems. Or find it on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. And it's free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and TiVo. Or download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. Watch it anytime, anywhere. Forbes described Newsmax as a news powerhouse. Millions of Americans are watching Newsmax. You should too. Tune in today.
He raids your fridge.
You're out of Barada.
Borrows your car without asking.
Scratches? What scratches?
He's your brother-in-law.
I'll pay you back.
He takes what's yours and there's nothing you can do. But when identity thieves want to take what's yours, you can do something. LifeLock by Norton monitors your info and alerts you to potential threats. If you become a victim, they can help fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com using promo code NEWS.
Advertising is hard. Not like advanced algebra hard, but similar to math, you have to have a strategy and a formula. At Zimmer Communications, our equation is simple. Right message, right number of times equals results. We invite you to schedule a brand marketing workshop. You come in, meet our team, tell us your story and your goals and objectives. Then we'll customize a marketing plan that puts it all together. See? Simple solution. You know business. We grow business. ZimmerCommunications.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Last night at Ray Hinches Stadium, the Crusaders moved to 3-1 on the season with a victory as they shut out Granite City 49-0. First ever meeting on the football field between these two schools. Your defense played great last night.
Yeah, Kevin, they did. You know, all night long, you know, we know that Granite City came in with a very explosive quarterback who rushed for, 180 yards against Francis Howell last week. And, you know, we were able to contain him all night long, which was key to our victory.
He showed a couple of times that when he can get outside the pocket, he's very dangerous, very athletic.
Yeah, very, very speedy and really elusive, too. You know, that's really what stood out on tape. But, you know, Coach Pitts and his defensive staff, they had a really good game plan, you know, to stop him. And I thought the boys executed it really well last night.
One of the things I want to talk about as far as the defense is concerned, we had them with just 68 yards of total offense in the ball game. We had them for negative 15 yards in the second half.
Yeah, you know, the defense really played well. And, you know, a lot of that, too, with our twos and threes that played, you know, the better part of a quarter and a half in the second half. So, you know, that was great all around, not just our ones playing really well. But, you know, it's always great when, you know, you have the game in hand and you're playing your reserve kids, your twos and threes, and they can come out and still, you know, maintain and preserve the shutout, which is always a big deal for us. And then, you know, to play well, too, and to tackle well, you know, that was really important.
You know, and there were times in the first half that they crossed midfield and were on your side of the 50-yard line. Then you shut them down.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, it was a team effort, you know, and, you know, going back and looking at the tape this morning, you know, I thought our linebackers played really well. Our secondary played really well. You know, defensive line was, you know, key to that victory, too. So, you know, overall, just, you know, we gave up a few plays just because he's a special athlete and we're going to give a few of those up. But when they, like I said, when they crossed the 50-yard line, we really knuckled down and I thought played really well.
You know, one of the things, too, as far as the defense is concerned, I remember late in the second quarter they're driving and there's a fourth down situation. You get the big sack. I think Bo Bondurant gets the sack for you out at the 47-yard line for Elias. You still have time. You have a couple of timeouts, 1:22 left to go in the first half. You get the football. One play drive, quick down and out. Drew Miller hits. Ryan Clark sidesteps the defender, goes down the sidelines, 53 yards to give you a 28-0 lead at the half.
Yeah, that was just a little option route that we run to the backside. And, you know, Ryan made a great decision, you know, just kind of throttle down that out route and make himself very, you know, easy for Drew to see. Drew threw the good ball and really was right in front of me. And Ryan made two guys miss. I mean, he just juked to the left, juked to the right. And, you know, he turned on the speed and took it all the way down the sidelines. And, yeah, that was great. We wanted to score before half, you know, and that's always a great time to, you know, you have the game well in hand, and it's time to work a little two-minute offense. And you never know when those opportunities are going to really come back and be beneficial later on in the season. So we needed that two-minute offense situation, but we scored in one play, which is great.
You know, it's always good to turn in a play like that right in front of the head football coach, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Ryan Carr is really special, and he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch with the ball in his hands, and he does it every day in practice. And there's always that wow factor, and the kids always get excited to see him. And you know, he's not, as I've said many times, he's got a big heart. He's not very big, but he's got a big heart, and he's got tons of talent, and he's really elusive. He is hard to tackle in the open field.
You know, you get two touchdowns early in the second quarter, 1:07 apart. We're going to talk about the onside kick in just a second. But it's Drew Miller to Harrison Miller with the touchdown pass of 37 yards. And you get that with 11:40 left to go in the second quarter. Then you come right back and Corbin Fisher with a 9-yard touchdown run 1:07 later as you get on the board with 10:33 left to go in the first half. Before we talk about the onside kick, that kind of stretched it out, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. You know, and the offense came out. We didn't, our first two drives, we didn't play very well. You know, we had some missed blocks, missed assignments, you know, drop passes, poor reads, poor throws. And, you know, we challenged the guys at halftime, and, you know, we have to come out better, sharper than that. But, you know, credit to them. They came out, and, you know, we they were able to stuff our run early, and we didn't block very well early. And, you know, we settled down, played a little bit better, but, you know, defense got us the stops. We got the ball, got our offense going. And, you know, that onside kick decision was, you know, hey, we saw it. It was there the first time. You know, we have that, what we call our maul onside, where we just tap it from the huddle, and all 10 guys are running right towards the football. And, you know, they had one guy there in the middle, and their guards in their front row were pretty wide. We thought it was there. The timing was right. We got the momentum. You know, let's get it. And we were able to capitalize on that too, you know, to stretch it from 14-0 to 21-0. And, you know, Vinny's got a very talented leg. He can do a lot of things. And, you know, we have a lot of zones that we kick it in. And, you know, of course, everybody knows he can kick it deep, but it's those touch things too. His ability to kick on sides, his ability to run full speed at a ball and take just enough off of it where you can tap it and it rolls, you know, 10 to 12 yards. Is you need it to go 10, but you don't want it to go 15 or 20. Is, you know, they're going to end up recovering it. So a lot of that is just practice and repetition. And, you know, we did a good job of hustling down and falling on that.
And they weren't looking for it. There's no question they weren't looking for it.
No. They weren't ready for that. They were not ready for that. Well, that's the first time we've done it all year. So, you know, that'll give our future opponents something to look at, too.
You know, to describe it, it looked like you put a $100 bill in the 50-yard line and blew the whistle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a mad dash for the football at that point. And, you know, we want to come up with it. They touched it, and I think Matthew Mossman was the one who came up with it. And again, that's a good momentum grabber. We got momentum. Let's keep that thing going.
And one thing we continue to see throughout the season so far for the Helias Crusaders is when you look at the score sheet, there's a number of different players that continue to get involved.
Yeah, you know, we feel you know, a whole, you know, platoon of running backs that we feel comfortable with. And, you know, we're rotating the running backs in. They all play, you know, some big role on defense, and so we keep them fresh. And, you know, we've got a lot of receivers that we think can make plays. And, you know, our offense is designed not to feature one player, but to be able to spread the ball around. And we've done a good job with that, you know, in the run game and in the pass game. And, you know, I think that makes us harder to defend when we really don't just feature one or two guys in our offense.
You had three quarterbacks score in the ball game last night.
Yeah, we did. It was good to get Tyler Sambody, who was our senior backup quarterback. It was good to get him a series in there, and he threw a nice touchdown pass to Cole Stumpy there late in the game. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter, Sam Wyrick, our 13th quarterback, sophomore, it was his 16th birthday yesterday, and so that was a nice little birthday present for him to get his first varsity touchdown.
I think you punted the ball only once, and that was back in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was. It was one of our stalled drives, and I believe it was a 41-yard punt. I actually had given Vinny the green light if he wanted to take off, but when, you know, if the first down was available, but he did a good job with that rugby punt. He punts it really well, rugby, you know, we recovered it well, and you know, not many opportunities there, and we only had one kickoff return, and you know, they ended up kicking that one out of bounds, so we got it on a 30-yard line. You know, the special teams that were really busy last night were our punt return team and our kickoff team and our extra point team. They were the ones that had most of the reps last night.
Big game on Friday night. Conference game as you go up to Columbia to meet the Rockbridge Bruins, both teams undefeated in conference play.
Yeah, you know, and we always talk about rivals, and, you know, we have a lot of natural rivals built into our schedule. But I think if you talk to a lot of past Crusaders, because of the heated and very balanced rivalry, I would say most would tell you that their big rival is Rockbridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been playing them since the early 80s, since our first, you know, entrance into the old NCMC. You know, so for, gosh, almost 40 years, that's been a back-and-forth rivalry, and it always means a lot, and it always has meant a lot, I know, to both schools. So it's something that we're certainly going to be geared up for all week, and we know it's going to be a tough game up at their place and a very meaningful game. It has big conference implications on it. So we're looking forward to the week of prep, and we're certainly looking forward to kickoff on Friday night.
Quarterback Nathan Dent has had a great year for them, and he likes to throw the football to Peyton Messer, the wide receiver.
You know, they're really balanced, you know, and then that's what you see about Rockbridge. They're going to be really fundamentally sound, really balanced. They have a good running game, good passing game. They'll mix it up. They'll throw it all over the place, and you know, they're just a really good program. One that we have tons of respect for. Coach Panetta's doing a great job up there, and you know, he'll have them ready to play as we will be ready to play. And I think it's going to be a great high school football game.
Yeah, should be a great one in Columbia on Friday night. Good luck in that ball game, and thanks for the visit this morning. Congratulations on the win last night.
Thanks, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches once again last night at Ray Hinches Stadium. They shut out the Granite City Warriors 49-0. They head up Highway 63 on Friday night to take on the Bruins from Columbia Rockbridge. Rockbridge enters the game 3-0 in the conference. Elias is 2-0 in the conference. Kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. Back with more after the break. The Coaches Show on KWOS.
From the Ozarks to the mighty rivers all across this land, we're here with you, helping build this country strong. Building this land.
Hi, this is Ryan.
And Caitlin.
Of Bentledge Homes. A custom dream home is one of those goals often associated with exorbitant cost.
But you might be surprised at how affordable a beautiful and well-built Bentledge custom home really is.
If you're looking to build a custom home, give us a chance to bid on what you want. You could get more than you expected for less than you imagined.
With four generations of custom home building under our belt, your dream home begins with Bentledge. BentledgeHomes.com.
It's just human nature to love shiny things. As long as there have been people, shiny things have held special status, and the shinier the better. Like a brand new car or a truck on the lot, every inch of it perfectly contoured, clean, and reflective. Over time, as that beautiful new car starts to collect dents, scratches, and loses its shine, you can always get it cleaned and polished again, just like a piece of jewelry. But when your car gets banged up in an accident, getting that shine back becomes the least of your worries. This is Gary with Extreme Body and Paint. Whether your car has minor or major damage you want fixed, not only do we fix it right and make the process easy and stress-free as possible, nobody makes your car look newer and shine brighter than the Extreme team at Extreme Body and Paint. We are now located under one roof at 1007 Lomo Drive, Jefferson City, Missouri, or online at extremebodyandpaint.com.
We make it shine like new. Extreme Body. aching pains.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Last night in Central Missouri Activities Conference play, Jefferson City, Sedalia Smith-Cotton played at Sedalia. Ball game won by the Jays as they beat the Tigers 49-0. At Atkins Stadium last night, Capital City Cavaliers met Columbia Rockbridge. Bruins win that one by a score of 43-14. And in Columbia, it was Columbia Battle over Columbia Hickman, 35-22. Helias stepping out of conference play last night as they hosted Granite City in a ball game won by the Crusaders, 49-0. Conference activity next week, week five. We're to the halfway point of the football season next week, and it will feature, as we mentioned just a moment ago, Helias at Columbia Rockbridge. Capital City will be at Atkins Stadium to take on the Jefferson City Jays, and Sedalia Smith-Cotton is at Columbia Hickman. Stepping out of conference play will be Columbia Battle as they will host Poplar Bluff. As we mentioned last night at Atkins Stadium, it was Columbia Rockbridge over the Capital City Cavaliers, 43-14, the final score. We are joined now by Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. First of all, Coach, your takeaway from the game last night?
Well, of course, Rockbridge is, you know, they're stronger than ever. I enjoy watching those kids develop into the players they are now. Last night, I thought in the first half we didn't meet up to the challenge. But in the second half, I thought that some things started clicking for some guys. Of course, you would want to win the game, but, you know, some of the takeaways that I thought, if any time for us to get better is in that second half, then try to improve on the rest of the season and kind of stay there. And that's what I told my kids last night. I'm like, you know, it's one thing to win a game, and that's okay, but, you know, and if we don't, you know, if we can compete, you know, I'm good with that. You know, I'll take the little challenges. If we're going to develop, I'll take those little challenges. I mean, those little developments if we don't end up winning the game.
Last 16 years, you were assistant coach at Columbia Rockbridge. How strange was it to coach against them last night?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a little weird to say the least. It was an interesting time, and just having those guys when they come on the sideline just end up talking to me. I never had that experience with players to just have a conversation without the refs, you know, telling everybody to get back or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They understood that it was a friendly dialogue, and they let it happen. I was appreciative of that.
Early in the ball game, I think opening kickoff, you fumbled the football, kind of got behind early, 23-0, Rockbridge at the half.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you know, we can't shoot ourselves, but you know, if we're gonna develop and keep going in the right direction, those are the things we got to take away. And as a kid that he's really trying to find his way. He does that, and he battled the rest of the game. And he battled through that adversity, and that was good to see. And those are one of the good takeaways I talked to him about. You know, you hate that happen at the beginning of the game. It just, you don't want that kind of tide against that team to give them that confidence at the beginning of the game.
As you mentioned just a few moments ago, better second half for the Capital City Cavaliers, and that's, as you state, taking the step forward, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's one of the things as a coach when when it seems that you're trying to use a season to. Of course, I'm not giving up on our season. I think that like you said, we're in the middle, and I think the tide can turn. And if the tide's going to turn, and I watched it develop, it will be last night that will be the turning point, some point for this team that they figured, hey, we figured some things out and we can move forward right now.
Talk about your two touchdowns in the second half. First of all, late in the third quarter, how about the long touchdown run by Phillip Richardson to get you on the board?
You know, that Phillip was due for that. We played him in the first game because Woods was injured. And he had a really good first game. You know, he just had some fumbles, some bad fumbles, and to put that guy out there and to see what he can do. And that's Phillip. He can, at any point, he can go on you, and you're not going to catch him once he gets gone. So that was good to see, and we should be getting that guy a ball more soon here.
Yeah, I think close to a 70-yard touchdown run. I bet everybody on the sidelines got fired up over that, didn't they?
Yeah, it was. You know, that's something that I was saying is, you know, development piece and just kind of believing in yourself. And I think that we just need those little victories to move forward.
And then in the fourth quarter, you put together an 80-yard drive to get your second touchdown. It ends up being a one-yard run by Ethan Wood. But you had several 10-plus-yard plays in that drive. It was a very good drive of 80 yards, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. And that's when I'm thinking, once you watch that, and I watch that on film, it's like it starts to click with kids that, okay, this is what we're trying to get done. This is, and mentally, this is the effort that you have to play within to have those successful plays. And I think that we're moving. That's when I said, hey, it looks like it's clicking for these kids. Because, you know, at the end of the game, you're thinking, hey, they took some guys out, things of that nature. But a large portion of their core group was in on those two touchdowns. It wasn't a situation where they were like, hey, we're just gonna you know, take our foot off the pedal a little bit. They did transition some guys during the second touchdown, but a lot of the core group was in there, so I felt good about that.
And your team continues to work hard in practice, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. So, you know, after the Hickman loss, you know, it was a little low. I can't admit that. But as the week went on, and we talked to each other, and, you know, just started uplifting each other about our plans, you know, we still have time. And I thought, you know, at the back end Tuesday, we started, you know, feeling a little bit better about what we're trying to get done and try to get back focused.
Another big game for you Friday night at Atkins Stadium. You'll meet the Jefferson City Jays in conference play.
If any good time to turn around and figure some stuff out, it will be this week. I think it was a turning point last night with some kids. I've seen some things click, and I hope it comes all together this week. I'm thinking it would. Talking to the kids last night after the game and watching them figure some stuff out, I think that it can be a good game this weekend. I think we'll give the fans something to look forward to.
Coach, look forward to the game on Friday night. We'll see you then.
All right, thank you.
Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier will have the broadcast for you. Jefferson City Jays against the Capital City Cavaliers, 6:30 with our pregame show Friday night, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Dad says that if you're on time for the ball game, you're late. But Mom says, with mobile banking from Jefferson Bank, we'll always be the first ones on the field. She can do our banking right from the bleachers, which means she won't miss a single play.
At Jefferson Bank, save time with mobile banking and deposit your checks from anywhere. After all, time is the name of the game. When you're ready, there's more. Jefferson-Bank.com. Member FDIC.
If you've got a bug or you got a problem, you call Steve. That's the end of the problem.
This is Coach Norm Stewart, so you should probably listen to what he has to say about Steve's pest control.
When I left coaching, I had to make some plans and do some things that I hadn't done before. And one of them was to take care of the pests and the insects around my house. So who do I get to know a lot better than I had ever known before? Steve at Steve Pest Control. And I suggest if you're having any problem at all, that's who you get in touch with. He'll be there. Yeah, Steve can take care of everything from mice to spiders and wasps. And you know what? Again, this year, we're going to have to take care of the Jayhawks. So that's the one you better watch out for.
This is Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you've got a friend in the pest control business. Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Capital City Lady Cavaliers softball coach Brett Skinner joins us now on the Coaches Show. Coach, you're 11-3, having a great season. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Boy, it is really going well for the Lady Cavaliers and only the third year of the program.
Yes, it is. We're off to a great start and excited to see what our future holds.
You know, it's a situation, too, where it's just not a great season this year. Last year, in your second year, you won 20 games.
Yeah, we had a great turnaround year, too. Had a good freshman class come in that really helped out our returning players and haven't looked back since.
Well, you had a big week as far as softball is concerned. You played two yesterday in the Lady J Classic. You'll come back and play more softball today. You played earlier in the week. You beat Columbia Rockbridge, the defending state champions in Class 5. Tell me about that.
It's an exciting game, and it's a big one for our program and our school. Girls wanted it and really competed. It was a great game. It was back and forth, you know, just all around. Great pitching, great defense, and great offense.
Beat Rockbridge by a score of 6-5. That's your second win against a team that's a defending state champion. Earlier in the year, you beat Sullivan by a score of 8-4. They're the defending state champions in Class 3.
Yeah, that's right. And going into this year, our big thing was we wanted to strengthen our schedule up, and we feel like we play one of the tougher schedules in the area. So we still play Tolton, and we play Vienna. So we play the Class 1 and the former Class 2 state champion as well. So we're definitely going to get tested.
Still left in conference play, Sedalia Smith, Cotton, and Helias, but you are 4-0 in the conference.
Yeah, we control our own destiny now. So our goal is, you know, to win conference and win districts and go on from there. But we're set up. So we got to play how we can play, and we'll be good.
What do the players think about the fact that the Missouri High School Fast Pitch Coaches Association poll came out and they're ranked number 2 in the state?
Yeah, that's exciting. Again, that's another big thing for our program. The girls have earned it. You know, they worked so hard, and we're very excited to see that. So we want to be there. We want to be ranked at the top at the end. But, you know, it's good to have that recognition.
As we mentioned, today is the second day of the Jefferson City Lady Jays Classic at Bender Park. 16 teams, and this is an absolutely great field with some great softball being played in the capital city.
Oh, yeah, it's always a great tournament. You play a good team, whether you win or lose that first day, you're going to play good teams no matter what. And we're going to get tested. We play Ozark this morning, and they're a great club. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, yesterday you opened up with a win over Cape Notre Dame 2-0, then lost to Fatima by a score of 4-2. Tell me about the first day.
First day is just a little lack of offense, the timely hitting. Other than that, it was great pitching performance by both Olivia Wood in that first game and Lydia Colson in the second game, and great defense. So we get the bats going, we'll get back on track today.
Well, you've had very good pitching, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, we're blessed with several several arms, and Lydia and Olivia have been at the lead on that. And have done a great job for us. So keep them healthy is the goal.
Coming into the Classic, averaging about 6 runs a game, that's a pretty good pace, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good pace. And, as of late, I think our last 3 games, we've had some offensive struggles. So we've got to get back to that. Obviously, they're a good hitting team, and the ability is there. We just got to get back on track a little bit.
Spend a moment. Tell me about your team. What do you like most about the Lady Cavaliers softball team?
They're just super talented. They're fun to be around. A lot of them can play all over the place. So that's, as a coach, that makes my job a lot easier. We can move them around. We can move the lineup around. And they just, they exceed. So they do well at executing, those big games. They get up for them. It's just a great group of girls. And really, we're still young, too. So it's our first year with seniors, but we've got 4 of them. Exciting group.
We mentioned you're having a very good year at 11-3, but you're not surprised by this, are you?
No, not at all. So, like I said, with our great pitching, we've got some girls that can really swing it. I knew we were going to be, super competitive.
Now, there's some great softball being played in mid-Missouri, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. And there's great teams, here in the Jeff City area, and there's some great pitching here. So it's nice not having to travel very far to see good competition.
All right, you get, as you mentioned, Ozark today at 10:45. Quickly give me a scouting report on this game.
They can swing it. It'll be a good test for us. We got to come out. Like I said, our pitchers are going to do a good job of keeping us in the game. We get the offense moving a little bit. Should be a good one.
We know you're busy and need to get going, so we appreciate your time this morning. Good luck today.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, Capital City Lady Cavaliers softball coach Brett Skinner again yesterday in the two games that they played in the Lady Jays Classic. Again, it's out at Bender Park. 16 teams are involved. For the Lady Cavaliers, they beat Cape Notre Dame 2-0, lost the second game to Fatima by a score of 4-2. At 10:45, they're scheduled to meet Ozark today. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
When Raymer Brothers first opened their doors, they wanted to bring quality, one-of-a-kind, handcrafted furniture to mid-Missouri. And for over 25 years, they've been able to provide quality and affordable furniture for the dining room, living room, outside, and more. From traditional to modern, they're proud to showcase Amish and Mennonite furniture that lasts. And every piece comes with a 10-year warranty. Raymer Brothers Furniture, making furniture the American way for over 25 years. 87 and Highway C Junction in High Point. RaymerBrothers.com.
What's working in marketing today?
What is working in marketing today?
What's working? The three M's. The right message, the right media, and the right measurements.
Get that right, and your marketing will work strong.
I'm Chuck Mefford, brand strategist with Brandsformation, based here in Dallas.
I'm Johnny Molson, marketing consultant and writer with Wizard of Ads in Springfield, Illinois.
I'm Bill Turpin, musician and musical imaging expert from Advanced Concepts in Bloomington, Indiana.
And I'm Joe DeGuano, digital strategist for BoomTap Business Solutions in Madison.
On Tuesday, September 28th, these four counselors will take you to Marketing Brand Camp.
We'll pack your backpack with words to say.
A song to sing so your business is remembered.
A compass to guide you online.
And measurements so you'll finally know what's working.
Let's go to Brand Camp.
No sales pitch. Scouts honor.
We believe better businesses make a better Columbia, Jefferson City.
Brand Camp. Where businesses build their brand.
RSVP and reserve your seat today at ZimmerCommunications.com.
Becoming a master of disaster recovery isn't done alone. So Adam Kinzer at Service Master of Columbia is expanding his team. He's looking for the perfect project manager, someone to make sure every job goes smoothly for the customer and the crew. You'll monitor and manage commercial and residential jobs, collaborate with crew chiefs, and communicate with adjusters and customers often. Pay is based on experience. Apply today. ServiceMasterOfColumbia.com/contact.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. Last night in Tri-County Conference play, here are your final scores. Southern Boone beat Versailles by a score of 24-20. Hallsville over Eldon, 34-20. California beat Osage, 36-34. And it was Boonville over Blair Oaks, 41-35. In week five of the high school football season, here are your conference matchups. It'll be Blair Oaks at Versailles. Southern Boone is at Eldon. Osage will host Hallsville. And California will take on the Boonville Pirates. As we mentioned last night, Boonville defeating Blair Oaks by a score of 41-35. We are joined now by Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Heck of a football game last night. A lot of offense in the game.
A lot of offense, Coach. We did some really, really, really good things in the football game. We were we also did some things that, you know, we have to work on. I can't fault our players' effort. I thought our coaches coached hard. There was something that I didn't do that we'll get back to. I've been looking at film this morning, and we're going to tweak some things that can help us. And as I told the players last night, you know, after the game, I applauded them for their effort. And I said, you're only a loser when you take losing. When you take losing and you learn from it and get better, you're a winner. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get better. And I really appreciate the effort out of our players. We just got to coach a little bit better and help them out.
You know, we did the football game up there 2 years ago when you took on the Boonville Pirates. It's an electric atmosphere in Boonville for a football game, much like it is at Blair Oaks.
It's an interesting atmosphere, that's for sure. It's a little different environment from the way, how you got to approach the field. They don't. There's not a lot of room to roam as far as when you're walking in, you're walking through people, you're walking around people. They're sitting right in amongst as you're going in the locker room. So kind of a little bit different atmosphere, but it didn't play into effect last night. I thought our players reacted to that well. We didn't do is we didn't come out with the victory because, you know, some things that just happened in the game.
You talked about this last week on the Coach's Show about how explosive the Boonville Pirate offense is, and they were that last night, weren't they?
They were, but they weren't explosive. They actually methodically moved the ball down the field at times. There were, you know, they found a little crease that they used. They actually used their quarterback running last night. They didn't use one as the Lomax kid as much. They used their quarterback more as a runner, using more blockers. And we had some opportunities to make plays, and we didn't. There were some unforced errors. And when I say unforced errors, errors we created both on our side of defense and our side of offense and our side of special teams that were really the difference in the game. I can really honestly say that we had the ball inside their 20 and inside their 10 twice, with once inside the 20, once inside the 10 within the first 10 minutes of play, and came away with no points from both those series. And one of them was we had two penalties, back-to-back plays. You know, that those are things that when you do that, and one of them was a legal procedure, one of them was one I've never seen before. The umpire set the ball for play. We hiked it, and the official threw it and said we'd delay a game because he didn't set it for play, which is actually a rule. But it was just it was really a weird circumstance. But we did that on back-to-back plays, and all of a sudden we're out of range, and then we drop a pass for a touchdown pass on fourth down. Now you come away with no points. You put yourself in that position because of an error on us, and that's not us. That's not the way we play football. We got to be better. We got to sit in there and not get a penalty that forces us into long yardage. And then the other one, we turn the ball over inside the 20. Can't do that either. You know, you turn the ball over when you're inside their 20. That's a 14 point swing, because you just gave up seven that you were driving in to get, and they saved seven. So that's 14 points. That's the difference in the ball game.
You know, the teams combined for over 900 yards of total offense last night.
Yeah, it was a track meet at times, and then there was times where we had three series that really offensively harmed us from scoring more points. We gave up three scores, but defensively we just had too many missed tackles, a point tack. It seemed like we would go two or three plays and every member of our defense would play exactly correct, and we'd get them in a long yard situation, and we'd have one situation where a player would miss a line or do something that is becoming of being a young football team. And we can't use that as an excuse. We can't use that as an alibi. That's got to start with me, and that's got to start with me helping our coaches and our coaches helping our players to get our players in position and stop at times playing not to lose. I thought our defense last night played not to lose at times, and that's not been indicative of the way we've coached or the way we've played in the past. So there's something we're putting too much fear or putting too much doubt in our players. And I'll talk to them about that this morning. We'll coach them up and we'll change that, because we've lost. You felt the feeling of loss. And as I told them in the locker room last night, it's only one way to go, and that's forward. You can't look back.
Midway through the first quarter, get a touchdown pass from Dylan Hare to Zach Harrigan, led 8-0, and you led 28-21 at the half.
We had really a good series start the first drive of the game. We turned it over. Then we got a great stop on defense, forced a punt, drove down, unbelievable pass from Dylan to Zach Harrigan. We ended up with a two-point conversion and was up 8-7. And then right before half, got the ball back 2 minutes. Unbelievable drive down the field. Ended up with we were fourth down inside their 4 or 5 yard line, and they were just packing the box. We ran a little route with Adam Hall and a little rollout. He came streaking open, and Dylan hit him for a touchdown. Really got us the momentum. Felt good about it. And then came out in the second half and Lomax made an unbelievable cut, made a cutback against the grain, and one of those things that great backs do, and got them the momentum back. Then they turned around and got a stop and ran a little sucker play. And what I mean by that, it was nothing we hadn't practiced, nothing we hadn't seen, but we got undisciplined with our eyes and let a receiver slip behind us when we were in thirds coverage. Can't happen. And it's an 80-yard touchdown, and they had the momentum, and we just never really got it back from there. We fought, and our players really fought. It wasn't their fault. It was just a circumstance. And last night, there were no errors by Boonville. We hadn't seen that in their first three games. They were they always kind of shot themselves in the foot. Last night, they didn't. They played about as good as they can play. And as we talked about after the game last night, the road goes through there in Mexico for the district. We're going to have to go there again. If you want to prove you're a good football team, then we've got to get better starting today and try to get back to play them again.
You got to within 6 late in the ball game. I think you scored with a little more than 4 minutes left to go in the contest. A Dylan Hare 1 yard touchdown run.
Yeah, it was a really good drive again. Just methodically moved the ball down the field. They weren't going to give us the big play. We were getting 10, 11 yards a pop. We were patient with it. We were getting first down, so the clock wasn't running very much. Tried an onside, didn't get it back. Had them on fourth and one. The spot was good. The measurement was really an interesting measurement. Again, that did not beat us. They gave them a first down, and with that, the game was over, pretty much over, because we were out of timeouts. So, you know, you got to take your hats off to Boonville. Outside of Cardinal Ritter and Luther Northern that last year, I don't think I've seen a Class 3 team with that much talent on it. So they and their talent played to their ability last night, and they wanted to win the football game. And afterwards, they celebrated like they should have. And I allowed our players, we walked across the field, shook their hands, but I said, hey, make sure you watch, because this is what people do when they beat Blair Oaks. They're going to celebrate. And I said, that's okay. That's okay. When people are celebrating because they're beating you, you're doing something right. We just don't want to let it happen very often.
Next Friday night, you'll be on the road at Versailles to take on the Tigers. Tell me a little bit about them.
Much improved football team. Very, very good offensively. They're doing some things right. Warren Sykes, an old Missouri quarterback. He was a senior when I was a freshman. Missouri, great guy, great athlete, one of the best athletes I think I've ever seen. He's had a lot of success in the coaching. Came back coaching Versailles, doing a really, really good job down there. Their quarterback's a very elusive player. They got some good receivers. Defensively, they try to get after you a little bit. They've given up some points, but they're scoring with people. So it's going to be a game that is going to be very interesting. We're going to have to come out and just watch film this morning, put this one behind us, and let us get better.
Versailles Tigers will come into the game having lost Friday night to Southern Boone 24-20. They are 1-3 on the season. Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night.
Thank you, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Once again, your final scores from last night. Jefferson City defeated Sedalia Smith-Cotton 49-0. It was Columbia Rockbridge over Capital City 43-14. Boonville 41, Blair Oaks 35. And Halaya shut out Granite City by a score of 49-0. Week 5 of the high school football season. Here's your schedule involving the four teams. Helias is on the road at Columbia Rockbridge to take on the Bruins. At Atkins Stadium, the Jefferson City Jays will meet the Capital City Cavaliers, and the Blair Oaks Falcons continue conference play on the road. They'll be at Versailles to take on the Tigers. We'll have the Jays-Capital City Cavaliers football game right here on KWOS on Friday night, 6:30 with the pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. We'll see you next week on The Coaches Show.